Joining us right now, one of my favorites, Nikki Javala. Nikki, of course, covers the team for the Washington Post. You can follow Nikki on X on Twitter, at Nikki Javala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A. Nikki joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Just a reminder, we will have the game right here on the Team 980. The Westwood One National coverage of the game Sunday at Philadelphia, you will hear right here on the Team 980. So, I mean, I think we're all kind of surprised, to say the least. I'm wondering if there was a moment at any point this season, before Saturday night, of course, that you thought, and maybe you thought it privately, that something like this, a deep run in the postseason, was possible.
I thought they would beat the Lions based on no real, I don't know, it was just one of those feelings. I thought, you know, I just have a feeling that they're going to come out with a win. But I don't know that there was a moment where I ever thought, okay, this team is going to go far in the playoffs. I didn't. I thought going into the Bucs game that they could lose that. But I don't know. There's just something about the way Jaden plays, the way they've won their previous five games on the last play. I mean, this kid just finds a way, and it's remarkable to watch. He's totally switched this team from being, you know, sort of a dumpster fire, not sort of a dumpster fire, that couldn't stay in games beyond, you know, the third quarter if they were losing, let alone finish it on the last play. There's just something about him that gives you confidence that he can find a way to pull it out. I actually think they're going to win in Philly. And a part of me pains me to say that as a beat writer, not that I'm ever rooting against this team, but I don't view myself as a homer either. And that's not what this is. I just think they have a really good chance to win. You know, granted, the last time they beat Philly was when Kenny Pickett was in at quarterback, and that changes things drastically, no doubt. But I don't know. Just the way they're playing lately, they look really solid. They're confident, and that goes a long way.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think we all know why we feel that way. You've already mentioned it. It's Jaden. But prior to, you know, them being a 12-win team and having a playoff game and then going into Detroit, was there a moment during the season where you're like, this is different and they are definitely, if not a playoff team and a contender this year, they're going to be? Like, I'm trying to find, like, when did you know that things were different? What was the moment?
Week three. And I didn't know that, you know, the season would play out like it did, obviously, but that's when you knew that Jaden was different. It's that 27-yard touchdown to Terry McLaurin on third down where Jaden takes a shot and still throws an absolute dime to Terry on Monday Night Football. That's when I knew. That's when I feel like a lot of people knew. I asked Terry this exact same question after the game in Detroit. Like, when did you know that Jaden was legit? And of course you get all the stories from players of, you know, we saw him in camp and OTAs and we knew he had a real shot then. Of course they've said the same things about Sam Howell and the countless quarterbacks that have come through. But that game was Jaden's coming out party, so to speak. That, I think that's when a lot of people knew, like, okay, this kid's special. He's different. And I remember talking to Troy Aikman a few days after the game, and he felt the same way. Like, he was somewhat blown away by what he saw. That game was a turning point for me.
Behind the scenes, Nikki, talking to the people that you get to talk to on the record and off of it, do they believe what I think most of us believe, that this is really the result of Jaden so much more than anything else? Or would they give credit to other things like Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury in particular? Like, do they understand that this is a strap to the back situation by an unprecedented rookie quarterback? Or do they think it's a lot of other things that have, you know, been put into the stew that, that's created what we have now?
I think they, and I believe this too, that it's mostly Jaden that says that you can't, you can have a really good quarterback, and if you don't know how to get the best out of him, especially as a rookie, then you're not going to go very far. I think Caleb Williams is a very good quarterback, and they couldn't figure out how to get the best out of them, and look at them. But Jaden is exceptional, and they have not had an exceptional quarterback in decades. So I think it rests largely on him. Now, they, you know, getting Dan Snyder out and bringing in, you know, an ownership group that really wants to see the team succeed, and bringing in somebody overseeing personnel that really knows personnel and has brought in some really good players and built a team smartly with a clear plan. To me, that's one of the biggest things, too, is both Adam Peters and Dan Quinn came in with a clear plan, and they stuck to it from day one. They haven't wavered from it. They don't waver from their practice schedule. They don't waver from the types of players they're looking for. They don't waver from their one-year goal to their three-year goal. Like, they stick with it. The messaging stays the same. So, yes, a lot of it is because of Jaden. I just feel like you can't go very far in the league nowadays without an elite quarterback. You can go, you can have decent success with a very good quarterback, but you're not going to win it all without an elite one anymore. The game has just changed.
Yeah,
but you,
I mean,
also have to the right pieces around them to make that happen.
Right. I think sometimes, and it's probably not applicable to this part of the conversation, but I think sometimes we get so wrapped up into it, and yet if you were talking to people involved, they would say, oh, no. Let me just tell you, Cliff Kingsbury has so much to do with this. But from the outside looking in, I think Cliff's great, don't get me wrong, but he's got the best mold of clay of all time as a rookie quarterback.
Yes.
So
he's got an incredible talent. He does deserve some credit in that he's not running his traditional air raid. He's tailored this system, much like Baltimore did with Lamar. And that's why they've had a lot of success. So he does deserve a lot of credit, but he can't do what he does without Jaden.
Yeah, and I think your point, and I think everybody that's followed this team even for, you know, a minute understands that number one on getting here was Dan selling the team, period.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have somehow ended up with Jaden anyway, and if they did, he would have ruined it and it wouldn't have worked. But anyway, right, we move on. Other than just being where they are right now, what surprised you the most about the team from the point you started to see it in the offseason through camp to where we are now?
Surprised me the
most. Other than the result. Stumped you.
Yeah, you did. I'm trying to think of anything really surprised me. I guess it's sort of related. I mean, I didn't think they'd be as good as they are. That's, you know, tied to the result, obviously. But, I mean, just a group of receivers, obviously. Like, going in, especially after they traded Jahan, it just felt like it was Terry and a bunch of guys. And, yes, a large part of it is Jaden, and you know, he gets them the ball and he delivers it well. But that group has played well together. I thought Diami has really stepped up in the last four or five games. I think Olamide has been a key addition. He stepped up. I thought, you know, Jameson Crowder has been really good for them. Now, are they all like elite receivers? No, but they play well as a group. And you see that it most of the positions, like the offensive line, are they one of the best offensive lines of football? No, but they play well as a group, and, you know, Jaden helps to mask some of the inefficiencies. I guess if there's one surprise, it's probably not the most positive one. I thought the run defense would be better at this point, especially having Wagner and Luvu back there. I still don't understand fully why that's not better, but they have had their moments, you know, like the last game against Philly. Saquon went off in the first quarter, and they managed to contain him a little bit better over the next three quarters. So they've had their moments. It's just, that's always a liability going into every game.
Yeah, I was going to add that. You just said it, because I thought with – they were great in 22. They were terrible in 23 on defense. And defense, you know, is more variable year to year than offense is. But I thought with some of the additions – and I can't answer it either, and I don't know that anybody has answered it. And you just said it's a tough answer. They've got good players on defense. Mm-hmm. I think anybody watching would say Frankie Louvu's a really good player. Bobby Wagner can play. Jeremy Chin's pretty good. You know, Quan mm-hmm. Martin has moments. You know, Fowler Jr. But for whatever reason, it's not been a consistently good defense. More often than not, it's been subpar. And I don't know that anybody has the answer as to why.
Yeah, I don't quite understand it. It just feels like, you know, there's still multiple missed tackles, and that's where, you know, a lot of these runners gash them. Coverage has been spotty, to put it politely. So, yeah, it's been inconsistent. I do think the group overall, my son says hello. I think the group overall has improved. I mean, they stepped up big time in Detroit, you know, forcing those 5 turnovers. It, you know, hard to criticize with that. But, you know, when you're going against A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts, you know, you have to be consistent and a complete defense to have a chance.
We are talking, of course, to Nikki Jabala from the Washington Post. So is it fair at this point and safe to say that Cliff Kingsbury will be back?
I think the odds are very good, just because he has an interviewed with teams, and, you know, spots are starting to fill up. But, you know, we'll see. If they make it to the Super Bowl and he continues to hold out, then, yeah, it kind of looks like it. You know, I think it's, and he said this publicly, that at some point, yeah, he would like to be a head coach again, but I think he's going to be very selective this time around, and it's going to be a fantastic opportunity to make him want to leave Jaden Daniels. He knows he's got a great setup here. So, yeah, it didn't, and honestly, it didn't appear that any of the situations outside of maybe Chicago, given his, you know, relationship with Caleb Williams from their time at USC together, it didn't seem like any opportunity would be all that great. I mean, would you want to go to Vegas and take that down, or Jacksonville, or
no? I not mean, when I'm getting paid like a yeah. head coach. You know, the compensation is a big
paid
part
like
of it.
By Arizona, so
yeah. All right, so you have that feeling again. You had that feeling Saturday night. You have that feeling again about Sunday. How do they win? What are the keys to beating the Eagles?
I think it'll come down to the fourth quarter again. I think it's going to be a late one. They got to find some way to slow Saquon Barkley. I don't think you can ever fully contain a guy like that. But, you know, he's put to, what, 148 a game against the Commanders this season. You got to find some way.
He did pretty well as a Giant, too, against Washington.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got to find some way to slow him down a bit. I mean, to me, it's a pick your poison game. You got to either try to contain A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, really, but either them or Saquon.
What is your guess on Hurts?
As far as will he play, or
yeah, if he plays, what, you know, how healthy is he? What's the injury? Do we have any idea what's going to come out tomorrow?
I mean, I think he'll play. He'll find some way to play. You know, may have a number of drugs coursing through his veins before, you know, he steps on the field, but
right.
I think he finds a way to play. I mean, it's cliche, but I think everybody's dealing with something at this point. He was able to go back in the last one, so I would be very surprised if he doesn't play. And now, will he be able to do everything that he's capable of doing? We'll see. But I would expect him to be out there.
How much more fun have you had this year than the previous few years?
Oh, my gosh. Covering a really good football team versus covering congressional investigations? Yeah, I'll take this year over any day. But, yeah, it's been sort of a slog the last 10 years, really, for me. But, I mean, I love the job no matter what I'm doing. It's a awesome gig, so no complaints there. But it is pretty fun to just be back in the throes of real football again and not have to worry about, you know, putting out another fire that starts. So, yeah, it's just cool to witness history, witness what's going on. I mean, this turnaround is just remarkable. What Jaden's doing is remarkable. So, yeah, it's fun to be a part of that.
Sounds like a book, Nikki. And I'm being serious. Like, you know, some of the books that are written about championship teams are, you know, typically written by people who covered the team throughout the year. And you just identified this would be one of the all-time stories from where they were to where they got to so quickly. Sincerely, do you think about that as you're covering this team, about if they were to go on and win the Super Bowl?
I do. I think about it. And then I remember that I have an 11-month-old. So, like, if I could add, like, 5 hours to the day, I think it would probably be feasible. But I don't know. We'll see. It is a great story. I'm enjoying the ride now. We'll see how far they go. And, yeah, if an opportunity comes up to write something, maybe. Those things take a lot of work. But I would like to write a book at some point in my career, so we'll see.
All right. Well, enjoy the most important thing, which is your 11th month old son. Enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.
Nikki Javala, everybody. When did you first think, not that the NFC Championship game this year was a possibility, but that they were good enough to be a factor in the NFC race, that they were going to be a playoff team, and they, if everything broke right, they could make a run. When did you first think that this was possible? And if the answer is you've never thought it was possible and you still don't think it's possible that they get a step further, that's fine too. But when was the moment? You know, Nikki said that Cincinnati game. I think that's the answer for a lot of people. I have another answer for you. Denton will give you his, but I want yours at 301-230-0980. When did you first consider that the postseason and maybe a run in the postseason was a possibility? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.